Rabbi Dr. Tzvi Shur. I don't know if anybody's heard the name before, but he tells over a great story when he was shadowing a mohel in very experienced mohel in different places. He wanted to see what everybody does. Before one bris that was to take place in the bris room of a Jewish hospital, obviously clearly not a frum couple that was having a bris, but Baruch Hashem, this couple decided they were going to give their child a bris milah. So the mohel asked the father of the child what he would name the child. What was the name going to be? Obviously for Kriyas Hashem purposes, right? There weren't going to be any frum people there. He said, what's the name of the child going to be? So the father answered, you know, honestly, I don't know. We're naming him after my grandmother's brother. So I don't know what his name is. We know what the English name is, right? But we don't know what the Hebrew name is. But don't worry, because my grandmother's here. She's here in the hospital. She's here for the bris. So you can ask her what the name's going to be. She'll be able to tell you. So the mole then goes over, along with Rabbi Shur. They go over and they say to the grandmother, they say, okay, what was your brother's name? To which the grandmother said, My brother's name was Vildechaya. Vildechaya. For those who aren't fluent in the Yiddish language, that obviously means wild animal. So the mole tried to explain that those words were merely a description of what the child is like. That's not the actual name of the child. There is no name, you know, Vildechaya. She became so agitated. She's like, that's the name my father always used to call my brother, and that's really his name. She insisted. She absolutely insisted. The mole did everything he could to try to convince her that she was mistaken. There has to be another name inside here. But she was absolutely obstinate. The way a Jew can be, as we all know, there's no way. The name they were going to use is Vildechaya, and she wouldn't hear of anything else being used. Nothing else would be used. So Rabbi Shur turned to the mole, and he asked him. He said, what are you going to do? What are you going to do over here? He said, what can I do? You heard her. So they named the child. The name of the child was Vildechayim. Vildechayim, right? Instead of turning into Chaya, Vildechayim. And Mazel Tov, hopefully the child will be able to change his name before his bar mitzvah. He'll be frum enough to realize that his Hebrew name is the strangest name in the world. Until that point, right, can you imagine being that guy to call up the person for an aliyah at his bar mitzvah, calling up and say, Yamod, Vildechaya, Chaim, right? Ben, I don't know, his father's name is probably something a bit crazier, right? Obviously, that's something crazy. So last week, we spoke about the tremendous Ramban and Kedoshim to you, to become holy through those things that are mutter in the world, things that are completely normal parts of life, not just staying away from Averis, and not just staying away from Arias, but making sure that we're Mekadesh ourselves, making ourselves holy on things that are totally mutter for us, like, again, eating and drinking and relationships and speech, etc. Nature, and not only that, but nurture, the way we've been nurtured and brought up in America, it's trained us to enjoy steak. And that's what we do. People like steak. People like steak. You admire people that have a luxurious car. Person pulls up, and he's sitting there in a station wagon, right, with rusted sides, right, and a little whatever it is. You look at the guy, and you're like, okay. And then a guy comes up in a brand new BMW, and you're just thinking to yourself, like, that's the guy. That's the man, right? That just the way it is. Usually that's the Orthodox rabbi and the Reform rabbi, but that's just the way it is when it comes to stuff like that. You have a desire to have a beautiful house. And those are normal. Those are very, very normal. It's natural for a person to want that, to want good food, right? To want a good car, to have good things in life. And not only that, but in America, we're also nurtured that way. That's the way it is. We get excited about physical pleasures, about things that are really, really good in our life. What that does, however, can squelch or limit our ability to appreciate the ruchnius in life. There is no natural ability that any of us have naturally to appreciate ruchnius. That is only something that you grow from within. It's something that you have to build up. You cannot appreciate ruchnius, naturally speaking. A kid is not born wanting to daven. There are rarities. There are kids that like davening, possibly because of how their parents raised them. Maybe there's something in them that they got. Maybe there's something that they listen to. But that's something that you really have to get involved with. We don't have the taste buds for something like that. It's just not there automatically. We don't have that joy. naturally from doing a mitzvah, from being mekayim a mitzvah, or even learning Torah. Unless you are a super intellectual who loves the stimulus of learning a Gemara and trying to figure out pshat in Rashi Tosfos, you don't have a natural affinity toward Torah or toward doing a mitzvah. It's just, I might feel good about doing a chesed for somebody else, but no one is sitting there taking shatness out of their suit saying, like, oh, I feel that. And if you do, that's strange. That's strange. I still remember there's a person, listen, not getting into this whole thing right now, but there was a woman who wanted to wear tzitzis. So she went to a Rav, and the Rav said, all right, this is what you got to do. You got to wear a four-cornered beged. You have to build yourself up. First, wear a four-cornered beged without tzitzis, and when you're feeling that you really get it out of the four-cornered beged, then you can put on tzitzis on the beged. So she came back like a couple weeks later, and she's like, Rabbi, I felt it. I felt like there's something to it. And he's like, okay, you were just doing, for a man, that would be considered an avera. There should have been no feeling whatsoever. There's nothing to feel out of wearing a four-cornered beged. He said, so clearly this is within you. It's not throughout. He said, honestly, it's not there. There's no way to feel that. There's no way to really get something out of that. But if a person somehow has the ability to squelch his gashmias, in other words, to lower his desires, to knock down those desires for something physical, then what goes up? It should be that lowering your desire for the physical will raise your ability to understand or to have an affinity for the ruchnias. It's not a guarantee. That's never a guarantee. But if you knock down your taivas and you say to yourself, you know what, I'm not going to have that piece of cake today, there's an ability for you then to take the ruchnias up a notch, to take it one step more. That's the idea. And truthfully, that's the idea behind Kedoshim Tiyu. That if you knock down yourself throughout all of Kedoshim Tiyu, throughout all of those ideas, that's where Parshas Emor comes in, where a Kohen or a Kohen Gadol goes a level higher. He's able to get that. By knocking himself down, he's able to become more sensitive to Torah Mitzvos. Feel the Kedushas Shabbos. Not being the guy who's like, L'shem Kavod Shabbos. That's not what I mean. Like, a person who feels that there's Shabbos coming in, that there's Yom Tov coming in, feeling that way. And the step in that direction, the step is Kedoshim Tiyu. The Rabbeinu Yonah suggests in Shari Tshuva, in a couple of different places, the Shari Tshuva was made. You know why Shari Tshuva was made? Because what happened with the Rambam, with his Sfarim that he wrote, when the Rambam wrote his Sfarim and he burned them all, so the Ravid came along, and the Rabbeinu Yonah came along and burned all the Sfarim. After that, the Sifrei Torah in his city, everything was gathered together. They said, oh, if you're burning anyway, let's burn everything. And they took everything and they burned everything down. So when that happened, the Rabbeinu Yonah realized he had done something wrong. Rabbeinu Yonah suggests we do the Tainus Aravid. What is the Tainus Aravid? What is the best part of a simen bun? What's the best part? Middle, right? Without a question. Split that cinnamon bun middle, right down the middle, eat one part, and leave the other part. Now, I don't want anybody saying, oh, baltashlis. Yeah, like we're makbid on baltashlis. You know, like garbage bags you have every single day. We're not makbid on baltashlis. So we have, you just take it. You take it, you put it to the side, and you say, I'm not going to do it. However enjoyable it is, we stop ourselves before we finish it, and we leave some over. Tainus Aravid is a huge thing. It's a huge step in trying to knock yourself down from just that last bit of taiva. I know when I was a kid, and still, even now, eating a Reese's peanut butter cup. So there are a billion ways to eat a Reese's peanut butter cup. There's the evil way of just stuffing it in your mouth. That's like a waste of space. Might as well not eat chocolate if that's what you do. I don't know what's wrong with you, right? There's a way of just taking a bite, then taking another bite. But the way of like chewing around the edges, right? So you get to the little soft part in the middle and just eating that soft part, right? And like sucking it until it's only peanut butter and chocolate left. I'm sorry if I'm making anybody hungry here, but I like peanut butter cups. What can you do? The idea behind it is to take that ravid and to say to ourselves, I'm going to leave part of that to the side. The best part of whatever it is, I'm going to leave to the side. I don't know what you do with the lunches and dinners here. You have to figure something out. No. You'd have to leave something. You'd have to eat all of it. Probably somebody else's as well for a time to arrive it. But you'd have to have something. Our adult experiences. And now that you really are, you've become, some of you are past the teenage stage. Some of you are at the oldest of the teenage stage. You're pretty much, you're either a young adult or an adult. Here's the problem. When you're younger, there's an excitement in everything you do because it's new. It's brand new. You've never experienced it before. It's like, wow, this is the craziest thing I've ever seen. So when does life become stale? When does life become that stale where you can't get out of it? The answer is when there's no invigorating presence, when you don't see any noticeable growth. If a kid every day is noticing he's growing and he's growing and he's growing and he's growing, he feels like he's changing. Feels like he's changing. Now, granted, by adults, sometimes you're growing in a different direction, right? But the idea behind it is, if a kid is growing little by little by little, he's watching himself become greater. He sees how he's different from the year before. Every single year, you know, you put that little line on your, you know, the what's called the closet, showing how tall he's gotten since this past year, and you see him go and go further and further and further. You can see that type of growth. You see that constant noticeable growth. That makes it different. By an adult, it's a less tangible growth. It's something that's different. It leads to, obviously, there's intellectual growth. There's emotional growth. There's a maturity that happens over there, but it's less visible. It's not there in front of you, right? Putting down your fork and thinking, I am not governed by a dead cow. A dead cow is not going to force me to do something. By saying to yourself, I have a higher calling than what's on my plate right now. That makes a person holy. That is a catalyst. That is an ability to realize things that are more spiritually inclined. You are now seeing something that's a little bit different, making you closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You will see that growth in you. That at first, you're putting aside a tiny crumb of the cinnamon bun. And as time goes on, you're putting aside a little bit more. And eventually you say, why am I eating a cinnamon bun? Now, again, I am not there. I'm talking about a level that is a higher level. Well, you have no desire for the snacks. You have desires for what is important in life and what gives you the proper vitamins and minerals. And I don't think anybody's there just yet. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu created our universe for us to be those people. So tell me, do you want to be the person who is identified as a Vilde Chaya, living this world, missing out on the point completely, and just being a Vilde Chaya, or worse, I guess, being identified as a person who thought her brother's name was actually Vilde Chaya, and that's that? Or do you want to be identified, associated with something bigger, something a lot better, something that really is more? And I hope the answer is, yeah, of course, we want to be something more. We want to see something of our growth when it comes to our ruchnias, and that means kadoshim to you. That means to become a more kadosh person. And this is the stage, building ourselves up, knocking ourselves down in order to build ourselves up and to realize who we really are, what our real names are, so to speak, and to find our place in this world. All right, we'll stop with